That was Jupiter, the bringer of jollity, one of the high points of the planets, by Gustav Holst in the in W.K. Kellogg Auditorium this Saturday. And Harrigan will be conducting the full suite of the planets, Opus 32, with the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra. And I believe I've reached Anne by phone this morning. Anne, are you there?
I am here. Good morning.
Terrific. It's quite a snowy day. I'm so glad that we could still get together, at least through the phone lines, to preview this concert for our listeners. It's really filled with great music. I'm sure you're excited about it.
I am very excited. The orchestra is ecstatic. We can't wait to go. We had our first rehearsal last night, and there's just so much beautiful music in the Holst, in the Tchaikovsky, and in the Samuel Barber. It's stock full of fantastic sounds, something I've been looking forward to for the whole season.
The concert is at 7:30 on Saturday, and we should probably mention the special guest artist right now so that people will know that you're celebrating some Michigan talent, some homegrown talent.
We are. We're celebrating some Battle Creek talent. As a matter of fact, Zachary Brandon, who is 21 years old, is a Battle Creek native, a Battle Creek resident. He is currently on full scholarship at the Colburn Conservatory in Los Angeles, and he's performing the last movement of the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. I actually saw him in person for the first time last night, and the last time I saw him in person, or on the stage, I should say, is when he was 10 years old. And he played the Bach Double Violin Concerto. And so it was so much fun to see him. I've been following him. I've seen him in passing. He's been a finalist with the Stolberg competition, the International Violin Competition, numerous times. He's doing brilliantly. And the first rehearsal right off the bat shows it's going to be a fantastic performance. People are going to fall in love with him.
Yes, I have seen Zachary at the Stolberg International String Competition here in Kalamazoo, and I can imagine how much he's grown over just the last few years since he was a teenager. I wonder, though, it's still hard for a young violinist to find a way to play with a full orchestra like the Battle Creek Symphony, and I'm wondering if this is one of his first times playing the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto with a full orchestra.
You know, I believe it is. I know he was very excited. He's got a breakneck speed, but he seemed so comfortable, and he had such a big sound. We had to adjust our sound with the orchestra because he just put out so much volume and just that strength and energy in his sound, and very beautiful, fun. But you could tell not only is he excited to perform with an orchestra, but he's really excited to perform with the Battle Creek Symphony. And this is an orchestra he watched growing up his whole life and probably remembers when he was 10 years old. So it's wonderful to have him coming back as a young adult and just sounding so incredibly professional. It's very fulfilling, honestly, and I hope that people come and hear him. It's I remember the Binda Foundation helped with his lessons. He would travel to Chicago for his lessons. He was at that level already when he was young, really working at a high end. And our sponsor, season sponsor, Dan Graham, his son grew up playing the violin with him. He started when he was 4 years old with Jim Butler as a Suzuki student. So there's a lot of memories in the community seeing Zach come back.
It would be interesting to ask him why he chose the Colburn School in California, although I can certainly guess weather-wise today why he would want to study in a beautiful sunny place. I'm sure that other schools like Juilliard and Curtis were on his list, but he chose California, and today I really don't blame him.
Well, you know, what's interesting, I have a lot of interns in Billings, Montana, who are performing at a very high level, and they are reaching out to all sorts of different schools. There's the Frost Conservatory in Miami, mm-hmm. Colburn, and part of it, I think, is the financial support, honestly, mm-hmm. with tuitions ranging $60,000 to $80,000 a year, and part of it is finding a teacher that you really connect with. And so while Juilliard and Curtis still, of course, have that great reputation, you're also seeing these other schools developing that are training incredible musicians.
I know that Midori is on the faculty at the Colburn School and many other outstanding violin teachers. Zachary Brandon, again, a native of Battle Creek, Michigan, will be appearing with the Battle Creek Symphony on Saturday at 7:30 in WK Kellogg Auditorium, and he's playing the Tchaikovsky Violin Concerto. A little later, I'm thinking we will listen to a recording of some of that music, but why don't we get back to The Planets, which is where I began the hour with Jupiter.
Yes.
Jupiter comes, I think, four movements in. It has this terrific opening, though. Maybe you can take us a little through the story of the planets.
The planets is a fascinating piece. It was brought about because Holst was fascinated with the astrology. And he wrote at one point, he only writes about things that suggest music to me and interest me. And he was in, I read somewhere, I'm going to forget, somewhere studying astrology, and he just was completely taken with it. So it has to do with the constellations and the personalities that came to mind. But the timing of it was very interesting because he started to write it and completed it 1 month after the shot that was heard around the world. In other words, the beginning of World War One, which was July 1914, and the first movement, Mars, the Bringer of War, was completed in August 1914. And he said that it was supposed to be a commentary on the stupidity of war, which is interesting, his political commentary here. And so he has this almost maniacal rhythm, and the entire string section becomes a percussion section. They turn their bows around, and they do something that's called colegno battuto, which is with the wood beating, which is funny because a lot of violinists I know bring a separate bow.
Oh, really?
Because you don't really want to be hitting your bow against the strings, especially for this piece. So I didn't look too carefully to see. But it has this low atmospheric pressure, and it gets louder and louder, and then it depicts battles and a triumphal march. And it's also in a meter that's unusual. Now, there's the opening and the closing movements of the planets are in five, not in four, as a typical march would be. It's in five, which is interesting to me why he would do that. So it starts with his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, ba-da-da-dum-bum-ba-ba-bum-ba-da-dum-bum-ba-ba-bum. I'm sorry, I'll go on about this. It's just, and it grabs you, and then there's this loud, growling sound from the contrabassoon, from the low strings, kind of the harbinger of the sound. And then all of a sudden it explodes. One of the things we're doing on Saturday to augment this is we have been very fortunate to receive visuals from the Grand Rapids Public Museum. They created a movie with images from NASA, which have an amazing interpretation of this. I did something years ago, and I was pretty happy with my work until I saw their work. But it was a beautiful depiction of all these images NASA has taken in our public domain. And so it puts them together and ties them in with the music. And that will be playing at the same time as we're performing this amazing opening.
I was going to say, it seemed like Gustav Holst kind of missed an opportunity because when he was writing this, there were such amazing things going on with actual astronomy rather than astrology, you know, so many planets being discovered and stars and just mapping and Halley's Comet. I don't know, but I'm very glad that you're bringing, you know, science and astrology together in this concert. And of course, yeah, those NASA images are mind-blowing.
They are. And I love the decision-making that whoever put this together, which one to pick and where to put it. And they've animated the images also so that they have movement and they go to different spots in the music. And sometimes it's just a slow fade. The last movement, you can just feel going deeper and deeper into the cosmos, and your atoms kind of spreading out over the universe. You know what I mean? It adds a feeling to it.
That's right. It starts with Mars, the bringer of war, Venus, the bringer of peace, like an immediate contrast there. Mercury, the winged messenger, Jupiter, which we heard, and Saturn, the bringer of old age, Uranus, the magician, and Neptune, the mystic, which, as you said, just fades into the stratosphere, as it were. But we should mention that Neptune requires some additional instruments, as it were.
It does. You never get to see them. They're the sirens. It's a female chorus. They have no words, and it literally is the evocation of the sirens beckoning the soul into the infinite unknown, is what was said. And so, eventually, they fade away, and the chorus is kind of softly closed. We have the Albion Concert Choir women and the Battle Creek Community Chorus women who will be our sirens backstage. And so we don't really announce them because it's a bit of a surprise, but now you guys know. And so you hear this. Where is this coming from? It's a beautiful sound, and it's almost as if the skies are like the water, if you imagine, you know, the myths of the sirens luring the boatmen out into the water and getting them into the sea. And so this is taking you all into the stars, into infinity. And I love the fact that this incredibly rhythmic piece, incredibly dramatic, colorful piece, ends very, very quietly.
It's Gustav Holst's The Planets, which is an orchestral masterpiece and a war horse. So I imagine a lot of the players have just taken to it very quickly, already have a strong understanding of it's the way it moves, its balance, what their parts are, and what other people's parts are, too.
It's true. They love it. They absolutely love it. And they've come in kind of guns blazing, let's say. They're ready to go. That being said, it's a very large orchestra. It's very challengingly written. Mm-hmm. And so the job now this week is to get everybody together on the same page. And so that the ensemble is very tight, the balances are correct, and that it can be at its best. I was really fortunate last fall. I saw the Chicago Symphony rehearsing and performing this piece and just seeing that every orchestra has things to work on with this piece. It's interesting. And even an orchestra like that, and the Chicago Symphony actually premiered this piece 6 weeks after the London premiere. And so if you think of the CS of that being a trademark piece of theirs, there's a reason, you know. And so it is a piece, I think, that this part of a country, we have a place in our hearts for it, the colors, the writing. It's interesting to me that Holst wasn't better known and didn't write more of this because it is such an amazing, colorful, inventive piece of music, and yet it stands alone. It truly does.
We've listened.
If you want to listen, I can be on hold if you want to play a little bit and we can talk some more. Or what are you thinking?
That sounds good. We've already heard Jupiter, the bringer of jollity, which is a big sounding piece, lots of brass. And I'm wondering if you could find something on the more delicate side and also on the shorter side. I'm thinking Mercury.
Mercury sounds mercurial. What can I say? Yes.
It's very difficult.
It is very difficult. It is. Holst considered this movement to reflect the process of human thought. So I have this image in my brain of the brain, of the synapses, and the thoughts flying around the brain. And, you know, Mercury, the winged messenger, you know, flying around the cosmos and darting this way and that way and then stopping and then going. And it is perpetual motion. Very exciting, beautiful colors. This color, the celeste, you'll hear in this movement.
Anne Harrigan is the conductor of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra, which is in concert at 7:30 on Saturday at WK Kellogg Auditorium. And tickets are available now through the website, battlecreeksymphony.org. And Anne, the phone number?
Yes, the phone number is area code 269-963-1911.
And we will go ahead and listen to Mercury, the short movement from The Planets. And Anne, if you will stay on the line, we can continue our discussion when we come back from the music.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We heard one of the movements from the planets by Gustav Holst. That was Mercury, the winged messenger. If you tuned in during the music, my guest is on the line, Anne Harrigan, the conductor of the Battle Creek Symphony, and she'll be conducting the full suite, The Planets, on Saturday. And Anne, I'm hearing, you know what that made me think of? It made me think of Mendelssohn's Scherzo from A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Well, it has that perpetual motion feeling to it. You know, it's brilliant. It's fast. It has those colors, the colors of the flutes, which are so prevalent in the Midsummer Night's Dream.
That's it.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
Oh, it beautiful, beautiful music and very delicate. Yes, yes. Which right afterward then comes Jupiter. So it's just such an amazing piece of music that takes the orchestra on so many different rides, as it were.
It does. Every movement has a different feel to it, and it's. We talked about Jupiter, Venus. Venus starts with a solo horn, and has this oscillating chords of the flutes and the harps. And by the way, we have two harps in this piece, which is something you almost never see on the stage of the Battle Creek Symphony, certainly. So we're excited to have that. Mercury, Jupiter, and then after that, Saturn, the bringer of old age, which was apparently Holt's favorite movement. And this is shows sort of imagine the rings, but the slowness, the serenity. It's interesting. And the changes. Holt commented, Saturn not only brings physical decay, but a vision of fulfillment. But otherwise known as the arrow of time, I guess you could say.
Huh.
But I love it. It's such a moving piece of writing. And then Uranus is the magician. And this is one I think that the kids like so much. It does have a feeling of the Sorcerer's Apprentice to it, perhaps because of the 6-4 rhythm and that dance-like rhythm. It reminds me of the brooms, I'm sorry to say, but also incredible brass writing. It's brilliant. The high screaming chord at the end is heart-wrenching. You know, you hear that, and then you know, the soft sound that just fades away, and we talked a little bit about Neptune. So you have all these different alternating moods that don't stop. They take you on a roller coaster, a kaleidoscope of sounds and feelings and colors particularly. I think one of the things I really noticed about the planets is Holst's writing, when he writes, he will choose different woodwind instruments and brass instruments and combine them in such a way that it sounds like he's created a new instrument.
Mm-hmm. A whole new sonority.
A whole new sonority. And he's already using different instruments because he has the alto flute, the bass flute, he has the contrabassoon,
wow,
the tenor tubo, which is high, all of which we'll have on stage. As I mentioned, the celeste, you know, that bell-like sound. So he's brought in many different instruments to the orchestra, but then he combines instruments to have very interesting results.
Just a reminder that this performance on Saturday in WK Kellogg Auditorium with a very large orchestra also includes not visuals from NASA of our universe and solar system. And you might have a tough choice between closing your eyes and focusing on those beautiful sonorities or opening your eyes and seeing some of that spectacular photography.
Probably a little bit of both, I imagine, but we're very grateful to the Grand Rapids Public Museum for making it available to us. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's especially going to be fun for the 2,000 students who will be seeing this concert on Friday and Saturday at 10 a.m. Thursday and Friday at 10 a.m. We have students from the Battle Creek schools, Battle Creek, Penfield, Lakeview, and Harbor Creek will be attending. And I'd like to give a huge shout out, if I can, to the Battle Creek Rotary, who is making this school concert possible and giving these kids this opportunity to hear this incredible music, to see Zachary, who was their age when he was first on the stage, and to also see this beautiful imagery from the planets.
Well, one way for listeners to support the symphony's educational outreach and efforts to bring music to young people is to buy a ticket to the concert, which is Saturday at 7:30. BattleCreekSymphony.org is the website. And I think we've covered the planets. I'm ready to move on to a special piece that you programmed at the beginning of this concert. It's an opening overture by Samuel Barber.
I have wanted to perform this piece, well, probably since the 1980s. I've heard it so many times because I lived in Baltimore, went to school in Baltimore. And when David Zinman was the music director, this particular piece was the go-to encore for the orchestra. It was a standing encore that kept it in their folders all the time, and so they played it, and they played it just brilliantly. I did not realize until today how perfect the timing is, it because Samuel Barber wrote this piece. It was his first piece for large orchestra. It was premiered by the Philadelphia Orchestra. He was 21 years old, and our soloist is 21 years old.
Oh, Samuel Barber was a remarkable talent, writing a piece like this so young, and writing a piece that became part of the identity of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra under David Zinman. It's called The Overture to the School for Scandal. Can you tell us about why it's called Overture to the School for Scandal?
Well, I don't think it's a inside joke. He was at Curtis at the time, so I wonder. But honestly, it had to do with a British play, and he just wanted to reflect the spirit of the play. Barber was an iconoclast in his way. In 1931, most of his colleagues were writing atonal music, and he wanted to write something completely different. And he was taken by the English sound, the English string school, and the writing that was taking place there, and of course Holst, you know, being the beginning of that truly. But then you've got Vaughan Williams and you've got Finzi. And so he was inspired by that, and he wanted to emulate that in this particular piece. And so he just chose this play that was written by Richard Brinsley Sheridan. And that's what it's referring to. It's referring to the play.
This is one of those fast-moving, lots of quips, lots of mistaken, not identities, but, you know, mistaken situations kind of comedies.
I can imagine that. I sort of think of an English version of The Marriage of Figaro.
Well, are you willing to stay on a little longer as we hear this music and then finish up with a little Tchaikovsky?
That would be fantastic. I'm guessing you probably have the Baltimore Symphony Argo recording.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Baltimore Symphony with David Zinman.
So. Yes, I tell you, this is a great label. They put out fantastic recordings during his time, and this is a beautiful recording.
I just want to remind listeners that this will be performed live at WK Kellogg Auditorium on Saturday at 7:30. Full details at battlecreeksymphony.org.
Thank you.
David Zinman and the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra played the School for Scandal Overture by Samuel Barber. And on the line is conductor Ann Harrigan, who will lead the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra in a concert on Saturday night, starting with this wonderful piece. And I just reveling in his genius.
Isn't it beautiful? He's such an American icon. I mean, this is the person who wrote the Adagio for Strings. And listen to the contrast between that piece and this piece. And he was completely unafraid to write how he felt.
That's a wonderful summary. Yeah, I think it takes, I mean, it's there's so much sunshine in the piece, but also a little bit of bittersweet feeling. Mm-hmm. And just the lightness of touch, and it's like it moves at the speed of thought. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. And I'm sure you're excited to conduct it.
I'm very excited to conduct it. It's bringing back a lot of memories. And I think it's a very good opener for the planets because there are similarities in the writing, in the colors, in the contrast. But it seems, and also in the melodies, if you think about the beautiful melodies in Jupiter, you know, I vow to thee my country is in there, that beautiful hymn. And this one, the second tune, the oboe solo, and then later on the English horn solo, is so nostalgic, so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're nearing the end of our time together this hour here on Classical WMUK 89.9. Again, I'm with Ann Harrigan, the music director and conductor of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra. We've talked about the School for Scandal Overture, which starts the program. Then we hear, is the Planets the final work on the program?
It is.
So let's not forget what comes after the overture, and that is a soloist, Zachary Brandon, who is a young violinist on the rise, now studying in California, but born in Battle Creek and raised in the music community there. It's very exciting to have him.
Yes. So I hope we'll see everybody on Saturday. The weather has gotten itself out of the way for us. And so I'm looking forward to seeing folks supporting Zachary and just enjoying this incredibly inventive, varied, colorful music and a huge orchestra on the stage.
We didn't talk about percussion or anything, but we'll have to leave it for another time because I'm sure you could talk for a good while on just the percussion battery for the Planets. It's been wonderful to catch.
I just say we have two sets of timpani, for starters.
Oh, gosh. It's always wonderful to catch up with you, Anne. And if you have any final thoughts, now's your chance, and then we'll listen to a little Tchaikovsky to take us to the news.
Well, thank you. Just want to thank everybody for listening, and we'll see you at the symphony.
Sounds good. BattleCreekSymphony.org for tickets. 269-963-1911 is the box office to talk to someone in person. And Anne, thank you so much. Let's hear some Tchaikovsky.